Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, May the 14th, 2021. And we are having a great time. Now, we did get a call there as we were going to break, and I suspect it has to do with the articles that I read before we went to break about downtown parking 40 years ago this spring. Very interesting time that it must have been 40 years ago, April 23rd, 1981, and March 29th, 1981, were when those articles were written in the Marion Star. Now, does anybody have anything to say? Again, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. But if you ever wondered why there are issues with parking downtown, or why the streets are one way, or what was supposed to happen, and what group was behind it, now you know. A group called IRMA, which clearly no longer exists. Now remember, if you're just tuning in, IRMA was the Urban Revitalization of the Marion Area. So that's the group that got this whole streetscape thing in effect. And now, things it was supposed to bring us, again, unique street signs downtown. If anybody knows any of those, let me know. And sculptures downtown. Does anybody know of any sculptures downtown? And when it came to parking, and they knew it in 1981, the articles here, it was 55 spaces were left on Center Street of the 109 that existed in 1981. And overall, during on Prospect Street and Main Street as well, this streetscape project was going on. 30%, overall 30% of parking was lost downtown. Now, their answer to this was a five-tier parking structure at the Harding Hotel back in 1981. And again, if you're looking for the sculptures or the unique street signs downtown 40 years later, look for that five-tier parking garage at the Harding Hotel, which did not happen, obviously. And remember, Jim Waddell, and I don't know if Jim's still around, and I don't know if he's, you know, maybe he's went on to his reward, but he was the head of this IRMA, and his quote in 1981 on the parking situation was, "My personal opinion is that we have enough parking," he remarked. "It just isn't properly used." So, Jim Waddell, 1981. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I wanted to give an update on the corn salsa.
All right, Ryan. What? Give us the corn salsa update.
It was really good. It tasted real fresh, and it actually had had sugar in it. I was reading the ingredients, and it made it sweet. I really liked it. Now, the wife said it had too much corn in it, but that's the whole point. So.
And you knew the wife would disagree with you on this, right?
Yeah, I told you and Glenn that the other day. No matter what, she was going to disagree.
She was going to disagree.
And she did.
But you liked it. Now, how far?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. About the only thing would be a little bit more spicier. I like a little, you know, hot, but they might make a hot. I don't know.
So did the corn do anything to it? Because that, to me, was the extra ingredient.
No, not really. I mean, I like corn and salsa, so, you know, it worked out for me.
Well, that sounds good. Now, did you make it through the whole bottle?
No, there's just a little bit left. I got into it again last night, and I'll probably finish it off tonight, I'd say.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate the update, and I hope you're, any big weekend plans? It's going to be fairly nice this weekend.
No, not really. No big plans, maybe a little landscaping.
Well, there you go. Lay back and relax and enjoy. Well, thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, the corn salsa went over okay. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz. And morning number two here, Zach, our meteorologist, is in studio with us. Now, yesterday we were talking about all the restrictions that'll be lifted on June the 2nd, as our Governor DeWine let us know on Wednesday. Now, that report is running on the news every hour today, so you'll get all the details on the millions of dollars being given away. I believe now, as the story reads, it will start May 26th, and it is two drawings a week. So I guess overall it's $10 million because it's supposed to go on for 5 weeks. That may change, but that's how the story reads right now. And if you're 17 and younger, it's a scholarship to an Ohio school. Now, I think that goes on for 5 weeks as well, as the story reads, but we'll see how it goes. It's interesting. And unemployment, there was even some more developments. So I'm glad we kind of held off on that yesterday, because there were more developments on that yesterday, because now the governor has said himself that they will stop accepting the extra $300, I believe, in early June.
Yeah. Yeah. So to kind of go back a little bit, a week from this Sunday, one of the biggest things is now unemployment recipients now have to submit job information, which means that you now have to state when you go to file your taxes, or not your taxes, your unemployment, you now have to put on there two jobs that you have applied for that week. The Lieutenant Governor and Governor DeWine have said that, one, now that Ohioans, and I can actually quote this, now that Ohioans have had the opportunity to receive the COVID-19 vaccine and can safely return to work, it only makes sense that we restore work search requirements for everyone. So my question for you, Scott, is you're sitting on unemployment. You've been getting this extra $300 a week. There are literally signs going up left and right. You can go out to Walmart or any of the other stores here in this town, and you can see that they're completely sold out of now hiring signs. You know, Office Depot, Office Max, they're sold out of them because there are so many job opportunities available, even here in Marion. What do you do? We're talking your weekly pay range anywhere from $400 or $500, and that's on the high end. And then now that they're going to start taking these extra benefits away, the federal government saying, hey, no, or DeWine saying, hey, no, we don't want that anymore. We're ready to get our people back to work. I mean, how do you see that?
Well, I don't know. I think there was a narrative created a long time ago, probably at least the last 6 months during this pandemic, that the reason people, businesses, are not getting the help that they need is because it's people are getting paid more money to stay home. And that I don't know that that's true. I have not seen the statistics on that to prove that that is true, because unemployment is you either lost your job, which means you either had to be fired or you can't quit and get unemployment. Yeah. So you've got to be fired, laid off. The people who own the business had to tell you to go home.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that happened, then you are entitled to unemployment for a certain period of time, even if it wasn't the pandemic. So that's number one. So where all these people are getting paid just to stay home, I don't really understand that, because if they didn't have a job before, I don't think they could have gone in and collected unemployment
to begin with. You had to have steady employment. I believe if I've looked into it correctly, you had to have at least worked for the company at least 6 months prior to being unemployed.
Right.
Now, and have steady unemployment, so or steady employment. So it could have been, you know, 3 months at, you know, Joe's bar and 3 months at Susie's bar, you know, but you still have, as long as both of those have contributed to the unemployment fund, boom, right there, you automatically qualify. But if you didn't have that minimum requirement of 6 months of work in the past 12 months, you wouldn't have been able to qualify for it.
Well, I think most people that were affected during this was clearly the food service industry, mm-hmm. because they were told to shut down. So yeah. You had servers, you had managers, you had all these people who were no longer getting a paycheck in the food service industry. And I think that's where the majority of the unemployment came from, because factories never really shut down. And certainly department stores adjusted their hours. Grocery stores never shut down. As a matter of fact, they were looking for people during these time periods.
They're still looking for people.
Still looking for people. So I really don't know. I don't really understand. A year later, it is strange that if you don't have a job and clearly your job is not coming back, I guess you could start looking for these jobs at these places, but I still know that food service is in a quandary, and if you're a server that was making halfway decent money, you know, some servers in this town make $100, sometimes over $100 a day, a night, a shift.
Right.
So if you were getting paid that much and you want to go work as the cook at KFC, you're going to make $13 an hour. So you're not making over $100 a day anymore. So that's probably why you're staying on the unemployment. It's probably not so much the $300, although that helps.
Right.
So I don't know. If restaurants can make a comeback, maybe all this will iron itself out. But I'm not so sure they're going to, because I think people have learned. I mean, DoorDash has become a huge thing now. Will it? I stay that way? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, and going back to the $300, DeWine yesterday announced that his administration is going to tell the U.S. Department of Labor that they plan to stop this $300 beginning June 26th. You know, so shortly after they lift all these mandates, they're lifting, you know, they're saying, okay, well, you're not getting that bonus anymore. You know, so when it comes to these businesses backing, you know, coming back, you know, we've got all these new restaurants coming to downtown Marion. You know, you've got Taste of Memphis, you've got Attaboy's, stuff like that. You know, I had a meeting last week over at Taste of Memphis, and they were completely slammed, you know, and it's good to see that people are supporting downtown business, but when it comes to employment, you know, are people just, and I hate to put it in layman terms, but are people just getting too comfortable sitting at home collecting unemployment, or, you know, do they just not want to go back to work? You know, what's the case that we've now gotten to this point where, hey, we're, you now have to apply for jobs and state that you've applied for jobs in order to qualify for the benefits, and we're cutting this extra $300 that the federal government's giving us? You know, this is the where we're at right now.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's interesting that Governor DeWine is refusing it, that it's not going away, that he's going to start refusing it in late June. Now, this to me goes back to what was said yesterday when we learned on Wednesday that the restrictions are going to be released on June the 2nd. Now, lifted on June the 2nd. And that's okay, but, you know, this was just ahead by 3 weeks of the legislature saying, we're going to take this in our own hands if you don't do something by June the 2nd. This is also a man who is up for re-election next year and is going to have to start that campaign in the fall, actively campaigning. Now, it would seem to me that if you're the Republican governor of a state and people are already unhappy with you because of the last year, that if you beat the legislature by lifting all the restrictions, and then you tell the Democratic Congress and the Democratic President and the Democratic Senate right now, federally, that we're no longer going to accept those payments, that you might be getting back in the good graces of your party.
No, I agree. You know, I'm not the type of person that likes to get into politics too much, but, you know, I've seen people say, okay, well, you know, the way he's acting and the way, you know, all these health orders have been put in place, is this, you know, flipping to, you know, is this showing his Democratic side rather than his party side? You know, so it's just been, I've got mixed reviews myself, just from what I've seen from different people on social media and stuff like that. So it's kind of one of those, I guess you win some, lose some.
Well, I don't know. I think that the rhetoric becomes very strong. I saw a person who is running a first time, as far as I know, first time candidate for Marion City Council, which will happen this fall, running on the Republican side, who refers to Governor DeWine, a Republican, as a dictator. And the dictator is coming strictly from the mandates.
Right.
And, and the person referred to them and said that Dictator DeWine has now said that the mask mandate and the other mandates will go away on June the 2nd. And this person said, well, they haven't been following those anyway for recent months. So that's, you know, that is very political.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, trying to think of what else we had, because we had quite a bit, you know, with the unemployment and then now with this lottery that we spoke on yesterday.
Well, people call that a bribe now.
I was just getting ready to say that. We actually had several people saying, well, if you've got to bribe somebody, you know, by waving $1 million in their face to get a shot, what's that telling our community in our state, that it's okay to just wave money in people's faces?
But is it a bribe? Because you don't have to get the shot.
True.
I mean, it's just like the lottery. The lottery is not a bribe because you don't have to play it.
You know, and going on to these kids under the age of 18, you know, we have, you know, in order to play the lottery, you've got to be at least 18 years old in order to cash in your ticket. You know, mom would give you a little stack of $1 scratch-offs in your stocking every year for Christmas, and she would have to be the one to go cash them for you. I want to get your thought on this, but wouldn't having a grand prize of a four-year ride to any university or college in the state of Ohio, wouldn't that be considered a gambling?
Well, I don't think so, because there are many scholarships awarded. Now, this one's being awarded for a student who has had the vaccine, but they award sports scholarships that 9 times out of 10 have nothing to do with academics. Then they award academic scholarships, and they're full rides, sometimes to Ohio schools, sometimes to other schools, depending on who gives the scholarship. I don't think anybody ever looked at a scholarship, and sometimes grants that you don't have to pay back, which are completely economic-based, have nothing to do with your GPA or your sports record in high school. And I don't think anybody looks as a grant at a grant or a scholarship as a bribe or a lottery. I think they look at it as a help to these kids. And so I don't know. I mean, anybody can set their own qualifications. If you go to the Marion Community Foundation, there are many scholarships there that you have to meet certain criteria. You know, you have to be a music major. You have to be a female. You have to be somebody who was born in Marion. You know, everybody sets their own criteria for their money, and this is the government's money.
Right. So, and I was going back here because I had received an email yesterday. It was late yesterday on the updated info from yesterday's press conference because new information is coming in to the governor's office so that he can relay it in his press conference. But if I remember correctly, and I can't find the email right offhand, but now once you get the vaccine, then you have to go to a specific website and register for the, you know, $1 million entry for, you know, I guess they're calling it Vax-a-Million or something like that.
Now, I thought if you're a registered voter.
Yeah, you have to be a registered voter in order to sign up on this website. But it's also done, I believe, through the Secretary of State's office where you can register to vote right there. So that goes back to Governor DeWine saying, you know, coming up for re-election, well, if I'm already signing up to be a registered voter in the state of Ohio, boom, that could mean another person voting for.
But do you have to sign up to vote to enter? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm not 100%. I can't bring up the email offhand, but it says something along the lines of. And we'll push out this story later on today, but it was the Vax-a-Million. You had to be a registered voter in order to register to enter this Vax-a-Million or be able to register for that $1 million prize.
But now a 17-year-old can't register.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to register. But I believe there's going to be some kind of other website for those students that are under the age of 18 that can actually go in and register that way.
See, I took that story and I thought it was a phony story because I could not, because there were three little bleeps that the governor allegedly tweeted out. And one of them had to do with voter registration, and then one of them had to do with the Secretary of State, and then one of them had to do with the health departments. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a true story or not, because I have not seen that reported by a legitimate news site. I haven't seen, and I don't know why it wouldn't be, because clearly people will want to know. Will want to be able to sign up. I don't know. To me, because I saw that put, and somebody said, "Is this real?" And it was not put out by a what I would call a legitimate news site. And I think this is what happens in the news. And I'm not saying it's not correct, but I think people have this urge to be first because I think they try to get so many clicks or something. And I wish they would try to be right because sometimes people get the first version of the story, and it's not the right version. And by the time somebody goes back and fixes it, the people are totally confused.
Right. Yeah, and that's where, you know, on our end with News Force, you know, we make sure that we are literally word for word. You know, the governor's already sent us everything that we want to make sure is in that news article, and it's literally just a type of way of getting that story out. So, you know, and some of these news organizations are kind of like, oh, well, we've got to change it up to this, or we've got to change it up to that, or, you know, to make, you know, Governor DeWine sound like the mean person, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, we try with News Force just to make sure that we are staying on top of everything.
Now, here's the story I saw, and I'm not saying this is a true story, because this is what was tweeted from Governor Mike DeWine, but I'm not sure this is a real thing, because this is not from a legitimate news source. But essentially, it just said, 2 weeks from tonight, on May 26th, we will announce a winner of a separate drawing for adults who have received at least their first dose of the vaccine. This announcement will occur each Wednesday for 5 weeks, and the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million. And then, right after it, 2 minutes later, the pool of names of the drawing will be derived from the Ohio Secretary of State's publicly available voter registration database. Further, we will make available a web page for people to sign up for the drawings if they are not in the database we are using. Number three, same minute, the Ohio Department of Health will be the sponsoring agency for the drawings, and the Ohio Lottery will conduct them. The money will come from existing federal coronavirus relief funds. Well, see, this reads that you don't have to register to vote. There's that they're using the voter registration database to sign people up, but it's saying if you're not in that database, there's going to be a web page to sign up, not the Secretary of State's page.
Right. You know, and I went ahead and pulled up the Twitter here, and it's not even, you know, you'd said your first line from it was 2 weeks from. I'm kind of going over Twitter because, of course, that's where all this is coming from. Let's see. I've got.
And here, May the 12th is because there's the Twitter page that link was from.
Yeah, I actually was just able to pull that up myself, too, so.
So, see, it's, nobody is saying you have to register to vote, and apparently you don't have to enter at all if you're in the voter registration database, and if you're not, there will be a website.
That's where the website's going to end up coming in place.
But it's not from the Secretary of State, and it's not saying you have to register to vote, it's just that if you're not in the voter registration database, that you can still enter.
Okay. No, yeah. And again, I was just going off of memory from last night's 1 o'clock in the morning email read.
Well, it is strange, though, because there are people I know reporting this morning that you know, this is some big voter push by Governor DeWine. And I would think he would not want people signed up to vote, because what we learned in the last election is younger people tend to vote for the Democrat. And my guess also is just because you want the $1 million doesn't mean you're in favor of Governor DeWine.
Right. You know, and then going back to the Twitter thing, 19 hours ago, he had made a tweet saying, on May 18th, an electronic portal will be open up for young people who have been vaccinated to be able to register. So, you know, keeping along those lines, some people may have to register. Some people may be, you know, already registered because they're a registered voter. But my question is how are the Secretary of State's registration database, how are we going to know who of those people were vaccinated?
I would think the health department.
Compared to, you know, going in and registering yourself.
I say I would think the health department, because it's being put on by the health department.
Yeah.
And I guess that's their part in it. And I imagine they will, because there are HIPAA laws, that they can't release that to the public. But I'm sure they can release it to the Secretary of State.
Right.
And I'm sure those names will just go in. But I think the problem would be if you're not registered to vote, because you don't have to put down your phone number and all that when you got the vaccination. But
right.
to vote, you would.
Right.
They'd be able to find you by your address.
Right.
So I think what's going on there is that, you know, the health departments are giving the Secretary of State the list of people who've been vaccinated, and then they're pulling their information for the drawing.
From the database.
Right. But if you're not a registered voter, you're not in the database.
Right. Exactly. So, and then by doing so, that's where you'll end up having to go to the a specific website and signing up for the, I guess, contest or Vax-a-Million poll or
right.
however you want to do it.
Whatever it is. And again,
yeah.
phone lines are open this morning if you'd like to buzz in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any questions regarding the vaccination or anything regarding what we went through earlier on here on Downtown Marion 40 years ago, the two newspaper articles that dealt with the Irma group back then and how we did lose the parking and what was supposed to happen, what didn't happen. We did have a call there during the break. If that was you, give us a buzz. We'd love to hear what your opinion was or anybody else. 740-383-9944. So in our final 10 minutes here in this hour, what do you make of 40 years ago, what happened downtown, which led us to where we are now?
To be honest with you, The cluster. I'm still wondering where that parking garage is. I've been in Marion for 10 years now, and a little over 10 years, and I've yet to see the parking garage.
Well, clearly it did not happen.
Clearly. Something about the Harding Hotel, right?
Harding Hotel back in the... Now, again, the Harding Hotel 40 years ago was owned by a different group, but why they believed that they were going to fund a 5-tier parking garage got me.
Right.
And have you ever seen a sculpture downtown?
I have not, but I believe we can get there one day.
We can get there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I was driving down through Marion last night, and I passed the Harding Hotel, and they was actually working on it.
There was parking there at the Harding Hotel.
Well, I didn't see that. The parking.
No, I think he said they were working on it.
Oh, working on it. Working.
Actually working on the Harding Hotel.
Oh, working on that, the side that was falling
yeah.
down?
And the southbound lane there, that side street, is back open.
Oh, well, that's good, because I know they had to reclose it again.
But normally you go down through there, and that's all closed off, and you never, ever see anybody working on it, but... You know, they was actually had those things to take them up in the air and was actually working on it.
Now, did you hear the stories earlier about what was supposed to happen downtown 40 years ago?
About that parking garage?
Well, the parking garage and the sculptures and the fact why this was done.
The parking garage might be down there. We just don't see it.
They hid it.
They hid it, yeah.
Is it underground?
It might be underground.
Might be underground.
Yeah.
Now, the sculptures. Now, have you seen the sculptures downtown?
No, I ain't seen those sculptures.
Or the unique street signs.
Well, they have some signs down there, you know, downtown that are not just a normal green, white.
Well, I know that merge sign that's on the road. in front of Papa John's. That's very unique. I've never seen that in any other town.
Yeah. But they might be talking about those. The street signs are a little bit different than what you normally would see, the green and white. But
well, maybe that was it.
You know, that could have been it. But, you know, that would have been a lot of money for a business person to pay to lose parking.
Yeah, per foot, what they were charging, I think $190 if you were on Center or Main per foot.
Yeah.
And $160 if you were over on Prospect Street.
Maybe if you were going to gain some parking, but to lose parking and have to pay that?
Well, the idea was to make downtown more, viable. Well, as we can see, that worked.
I know the one-way streets came about before they did that, before they, you know, they did that downtown revitalization.
Well, I don't have the article for that, but one of the reasons given that City Council made Center, West Center, one-way was because apparently there used to be a nursing home down there somewhere, and the traffic was going fast, so it was to slow traffic.
Yeah, I don't know what year they did that, but the streets was one way before that.
And I don't know what nursing home that even would have been down there on West Center.
Well, I think Center Street used to be straight. Now you can't drive through town, you know, holding your steering wheel straight. I mean, Center Street's kind of got some curves to it there.
Got a little bit of an arch. You're right. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hopefully they get the Hardy Hotel done. I'd like to see that eyesore, all that construction stuff out of there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go up and down that street again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm.
Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. 740-383-9944.
It's one of those crazy things that, you know, and you were talking, it was $180 per foot.
I think $190 or something like that per foot if you were on Center or Main, but if you were on Prospect, $160 per foot.
Okay. And these businesses, they ended up having to pay that, is that correct?
They had to pay that. Now, apparently they were trying to come up with some grant or scholarship money or something. Now, did that ever happen? I don't know.
Not 100% for sure, but it's kind of interesting because we're talking, what was the year on that one? 1965? Was that right?
No, that's another one. 81. 40 years ago.
Okay, so 40 years ago, imagine the value of the dollar 40 years ago. Yeah, you know, we're talking now, that could be easily, you know, $400 or $500 a square foot.
Yeah, the money was definitely not cheap. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, do you think that was during the era when they was deciding on the first year of the Popcorn Festival, wasn't it, 81?
Yeah, that would have been right in the area. I think 80 was the first because last year was supposed to be the 40th anniversary, so yeah, right in that neighborhood.
Well, don't maybe you think everybody that was planning on the Popcorn Festival and everything, they kind of was all shook up and having all the entertainment that was coming into Marion in the future and everything like that, they may have got a little confused about the zigs and the zags and the signs and the sculptures are up there on the courthouse, aren't they?
Well, I think those were there before 81, though.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's probably back during when they built the courthouse. Well, it's sculpture, though. I mean, you know, they can get wording a little mixed up, you know, that happens frequently.
It, you know, it's very weird, though, to go back and read these articles, which were in the local newspaper, the Marion Star, 40
years
ago.
Oh, yeah, you find a lot of truth back in those days. They wasn't afraid of who the toes they stepped on now. Now they are, you know. You get ridiculed for a lot of things you say when you got the freedom of speech. But anyhow, you know what? The lighting there, I noticed the difference. On South Main Street, there was lighting change. It got so dim to save energy that you couldn't see a pedestrian going across the street on South Main after dark.
Well, I don't know if that's an improvement, but they do what they can do. I just don't understand if they knew before it even took place that they were going to lose 30% of the parking and nearly half the parking on Center Street. Why in the world they went ahead with this, and did they really believe? Because the Harding, the people who owned the Harding Hotel in 81, which was this Les Azure company, were saying they were having financial problems then, that they were, that's why they have not, had not moved ahead with this five-tier parking garage. So what in the world made them think a company that was in financial trouble?
Well, it's happened ever since I've lived around here. There was a proposal made, and then after it's settled and everything, people agree on it, vote on it and stuff, and then there was some a little different wording in the contract. Both ways, in the planning committee and in the people that was paying the money, and usually taxpayers, one that suffered from it, was the taxes that was paying on something they didn't get. Would that come under that category today?
Well, yeah, I would say so, but I tell you, the ones who got hit, according to these articles, if you owned a business downtown, it wasn't an option. You were just going to have to pay money.
Yeah, and also when the popcorn festival come there was a big squawk years ago, because I was in that era when they first started, everybody was at our age now. They closed all those businesses down, per se, because the food trucks come in and the big cables across the street and everything was blocked off. Those businesses were hurting then. People wasn't going in there shopping then. I don't believe. I'm just saying that. I know all the main attraction was really concerned to the popcorn. And I really, 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 really thought the popcorn festival was great. I never seen the first box of popcorn for years and years. I yet, you know, really smell popcorn. I told them when they was doing that, why don't you get a big tube and run some wind up popcorn up there on North Main Street and get the atmosphere of the caramel corn downtown. That would have been nice, wouldn't it?
That would have been. You know, the big part of this story to me, you know, isn't so much what they didn't do, even obviously they didn't, but even back then, there was a group, IRMA, which clearly is not around anymore, Urban Revitalization of the Marion Area, and here we are 40 years later, and we've got the Downtown Revitalization Committee, and this IRMA thing couldn't get things done. Now, it seems like they had some money, because they did get the parking all changed, and they got these some benches put up, and street or trees planted, but, you know, do you know this Jim Waddell, or Waddell, who was the head of this IRMA?
I knew those names, whether they're the ones or not. They're just like a lot of other names. There's two or three or four or five, and a lot of Joneses and a lot of Williamses and a lot of McKinleys, and, you know, all those names are, yeah, I knew people then, but I don't know if one I know. You know, that's the way it goes back to history. You don't keep accountability of everybody you know and what job they're in or anything like that. Back in our days, we was working our ass off, going to work and stuff. We wasn't worrying about the planning committee, what they're doing. But now you got a little bit of time. You hear a few names, and you don't know them now because they just aren't around. But people I know at that time, I knew Ron Malone. I knew him as
he was a part of this.
And but I knew Jack Kellogg real well. I grew up with Jack Kellogg real well, so I knew them names. But other than, you know, paying much attention to what they've done. Who to blame it on, I don't know, but boy, there's a lot of complaints anymore, isn't there?
Well, it's interesting, though, because this Jim Waddell, who was the head of the chairman of this IRMA, when asked about the parking in 81, he said, "My personal opinion is that we have enough parking. It just isn't used properly."
Well, you know what? He's probably right. We're talking about 40 years ago. Now, there is no business downtown, and we haven't got enough parking. Evaluate that acquisition.
There you go. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, what do you make of that? And this Waddell man, God forbid he's still alive listening or will hear about this, but what do you make of this quote? Now this is after the studies have come out in 81 saying they're going to lose 30% of the parking, nearly half the parking on Center Street, and his quote is, and he's the head of this IRMA, he says, "My personal opinion is we have enough parking. It just isn't properly used." Must have been waiting on that parking garage.
That's what it was.
Didn't slide through. But, I mean, here we are. Committees galore. We have more committees.
We've got so many committees throughout.
For the last 40 years. We're going to break. We'll be back in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Is more exciting, a little more energy around, and we really do want to hear what you have to say. We really, really do. You are the best.
Okay. You're a pal. Thank you so much, Scott. And it's been my pleasure. And thank you for getting the old talk show guy out of bed and